Amen. Good to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. Are you glad to be here?
Amen.
Oh, man, that was weak. Are you glad to be here? Amen. Yes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful Sunday morning. We pray, God, that you would just be with us in this service today, that you would just keep your hand upon us. We pray, Father God, for your anointing upon the singing, upon the worship, upon the preaching of your word by my brother Perky. We just pray, Lord, that your kingdom come and your will be done in this service this morning. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Built up my own name, but the walls couldn't stand. I trusted my own strength, but it was sinking sand. So I put my ruins into your hands and watch you restore.
They say this mountain can be moved.
They say these chains will never break, but they don't know you like we do. There is power. Tide will never change.
Jesus, I just thank you that today that there is power in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Lord, and we come to you. Each person has needs. And we believe that there is nothing impossible for you. We lay our nation at your feet, the ruins that it is. And we are going to glorify your name as we watch you rebuild it into the nation that it should be.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope.
life. The outpouring of your Spirit, Lord, we claim it today. And we just worship and glorify you.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Can somebody say praise the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Whatever need you may have today, the Lord has power to meet that need. Right now, if you just have a need, just lift your hand to the Lord. Father God, you see these hands that are lifted right now, and we just speak that there's power in your name. In your name, Lord, let lives be touched, let bodies be healed, let spirits be ministered to. Lord, let people be encouraged, let healings happen right now in this service, we pray. We speak your name, Lord, over every need here today. We speak your name, Lord, over every situation that needs your help. We just speak your name, Father God, over this nation. Lord, we speak your name, Lord, over sickness, over death, over disease, over sin. We speak your name, Lord, today. God, we pray for the Hobbs family right now. We pray that you would comfort them as Eric's dad went to be with you yesterday. We pray that you would just comfort them right now. We continue to lift up Debbie Rowland to the Lord. We're just praying for a miracle of healing in her body. We pray for Larry Newell, the same, that you would just touch him and minister to him. We pray for Zach Kerbo today, Lord, who needs a healing touch in his body. And Lord, there's so many others. Father God, we thank you that there is power in your name, and we just speak that over every need today. We thank you, God. We're just believing for great things in this service, Lord, as you have sent Mark and Susie Perkey here today to speak your word, to preach your word, and we just believe for an anointing upon him. And may our hearts be open, and may our ears be open to what you want to say to us in this service. Lord, just confirm your word with signs following, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's sing that one more time. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, 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 break every chain. Thank you, Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for what he's going to do today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Before you're seated, tell three people you're glad to see them this morning.
This morning, amen. Amen. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to church. Welcome to Noble Assembly. Glad that to have you here in the sanctuary or online. I'm waving at you online here. Look at this. It's delayed. So just think, when you see this wave, it actually happened probably 7 to 10 seconds ago. It's like you're looking into the future or the past. I don't know which way that is, but it's too complicated for my brain. But if you're in the house today and this is your first time visiting us, we want to say, hey, thanks for being here today. Would you reach in the seat back in front of you and grab one of these cards, fill it out, and just kind of give us a record of your attendance. Helps us to know you came to visit with us, and And we sure are glad that you did. Just a good day, isn't it? How many of you have already purchased a turkey? Huh? Anybody purchased a turkey yet? Come on. Anybody purchased your ham? Come on. All right. Who likes turkey better? We're doing a survey here. All right. Who likes ham better? Yeah. So funny. So funny. And we always talk about, you know, I think we maybe need to start a petition to ham be the official logo of Thanksgiving. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Because apparently nobody really eats turkey except a few of you. And that's just because you like dry mouth. So anyway, I'm excited about today. But I have a few announcements for you. Tonight, there is no service or activities. We want you to enjoy it with your family, along with this Wednesday. So we want you to just enjoy the Thanksgiving season, and we will be back together to worship next Sunday at that time. But there's no service tonight or Wednesday, and so just want to make you aware of that. Also, Christmas for the city is coming up before we know it. December 10th is the day we're actually going to go serve. We're going to serve hot dogs and French fries and cookies and nachos. And kids will be able to take pictures with Santa. Every kid 0 to 15 will receive a gift. And so you can sign up to create or make a gift. And we have boxes out there in the sign up. Those are due back by Sunday, December 4th. That's the Sunday before our outreach that next weekend. That gives us a week, that week to kind of make sure everything's in place. And we still have lots of opportunities to volunteer, lots of opportunities to purchase or create a gift for a child that otherwise might not get one this year. And we'd love, my office is already filling up with gifts, and I can't wait for us to put the Christmas tree up, Pastor, because I'm having a hard time convincing my children, my little ones, those aren't their gifts. So we need to get them out of my office ASAP. But anyway, thank you for those who've already signed up. You're going to volunteer. Thank you for those of you that said, hey, I can't do either one. I can't make a gift, and I won't be able to volunteer, but I'd be willing to donate to help with the cause. Thank you for those of you that have done that. And we're looking for a tremendous outreach come that day. Also, the senior adult Christmas party is coming up, and it's going to be at George and Helen Smith's house. And it says, no gifts, please. And so I was talking to Helen, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. The reason why there's no gifts, that's actually Helen. She says that George has only earned coal this year. So we don't want to encourage bad behavior, and so that's why we're asking no gifts at the party. That is absolutely not true, but it was funny. We ask the ushers to come as we receive the tithe and offering this morning. Amen, amen, amen. How many of you would like a praise report? How many of you like good news? Anybody like good news? Well, first of all, thank you, thank you, thank you for those of you who first of all, supported us and allowed us to come and share with you about Speed the Light last week. Wanted to give you an update on that. Thank you for supporting us. The offering last week for Speed the Light was just shy of right at $2,500. So let's give a Lord hand clap for that. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. As you know, our youth raised 10 grand last year. We're trying to raise 12 this year. We're pushing towards that. Well, at Turkey Bowl on Wednesday, we challenged our youth to also give in the offering. And our youth department, our youth, not adults, our youth gave $2,100 in the offering. Amen. 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 And so we went and did a fundraiser yesterday at the OSU game, Boomer, and raised $500 selling candy bars. And so we are officially at $12,000. We did it. We did it. We did it. We did it. We're still going to do another fundraiser at Christmas and Noble selling and just keep exceeding. I have a feeling, Susie, that Heath won't mind if I go over the goal. What do you think? I think he will not be upset if we exceed our goal. And I actually wrote it at 10, so he doesn't know that we were trying to get it to 12. And so he's going to be excited with us. And I'm excited about what the Lord is doing in and through us. Amen? Amen. The Lord is so good. Lord, we just ask right now that you would just bless all that's given, multiply it. Lord, thank you for our that you've given our church a heart for missions. Lord, thank you for, and we pray for all the missionaries today that we support and the money that's given today that will further the gospel to the outermost parts of the earth today. And Lord, we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, as the offering is being received, I get the opportunity to introduce our guest evangelist. And, you know, I believe that honor should be given to who honor is due. And I want to share with you just a couple of things today as I introduce them. First of all, you know, Mark and Susie Perkey are a dynamic couple. Susie is the leader of our women's ministry here in Oklahoma. And I don't know how many of you ladies, have been to the women's conference? Miss Kelly takes, yes, there's some hands up, amen. Well, I think this year, 1,200, 1,300, don't let me cheat you. How many were there this year? 1,249 ladies meeting to worship the Lord and be challenged in dynamic services. I get to see some of the clips and I get to check it out. They don't let me come. I have to watch the kids, so they don't let me go to it. But let me just say this, all right, and I mean this with a genuine heart today. You cannot fake anointing, and you cannot just go purchase it at Walmart. The anointing of the Holy Spirit and that presence in someone's life, like the anointing that's on this couple, is done and received through prayer and in time with the Lord. And I know that they pray for us as a church. I know, Susie, you pray for our ladies, and I thank you for that. And I thank you, Mark and Susie, for your tremendous ministry, not only to our ladies, but through being an evangelist here, encouraging. I see you on Facebook and all the churches you go and speak. And so today I'm excited. He comes once a year. You got one shot. You picked a good day to come, because here comes Mark to come give us a fresh word from the Lord. Amen. Let's give them a hand, Mark and Susie.
Good morning, and we are just honored to be here. Every year, your pastors are so gracious to invite us to come this particular week. And we're many years into that, and we're just very grateful for this church and for all that you do for God's kingdom. And every one of us are sons and daughters of the Lord. If you're not, then today's your opportunity to become one. And we're here to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ today, and to encourage the saints. I think that the Bible says that the gift of the evangelist is there for the equipping of the saints. So we're here today to just pour in to this body of encouragement, of prayer, invest in the word of God in your life, and in before we leave, enjoy connection and fellowship. We need one another. We're coming out of a time that we've never known before in our world. And you're very wise today to come to the house of the Lord, because he blesses those who do not forsake that. And God bless you for coming. We don't take it for granted as your leaders. We love this leadership couple. They serve in our district, our network here among our 465 churches. The highest caliber leadership that you have here. And we just thank you for being the highest caliber of God's children. And many of you have been so warm and kind to us through the years. My little mother went to heaven last October, and so I missed coming last year, and that's where I was. We had church every Sunday in our home until she passed. She was on hospice for 2 years. And she's celebrating today in heaven. How many of you know that when you get to heaven, you get healed of everything? And I was talking to somebody in the foyer today. Of course, we believe in divine healing, and the scripture's full of that. And today, if you're sick, mentally, emotionally, physically, whatever you're struggling with, these altars are open. But many times we feel like we didn't get our prayer answered if someone goes to heaven. But can I just say that the ultimate healing is to enter heaven's gates and get that new body and that new mind. And until we do, he's here for us with the healing balm of Gilead. There's a lot of things we don't understand, and I just want to read a little reading before Mark comes. He's got a great word for you this morning. But just consider this. It's from one of our executive presbyters in the Assemblies of God, David Crabtree, and I just loved it. Did Abraham understand what God was doing on Mount Moriah? Did Moses understand what God was doing when he led the people to a waterless desert? Did Gideon understand what God was doing when he reduced the army to 300? Did David understand what God was doing when his son seized his throne? Did Jehoshaphat understand what God was doing when he commanded that the choir march first into battle? The choir. Did the widow of Zarephath understand what God was doing when Elijah demanded her last meal? Did Paul understand what God was doing when he left him in jail for years on end, the Apostle Paul? Did Mary and Martha understand what God was doing when their brother Lazarus died? Did the servants understand what Jesus was doing when he commanded them to fill 6 water pots full of water, his first miracle? And what of the martyred legions in Hebrews 11? Did they understand what God was doing when they were flogged, imprisoned, stoned, sawn in two, and put to death by the sword? Do you understand what God's doing right now in your own life and circumstances, friend? Well, in seeking to understand, we are missing the very heart of the Christian faith. Here's something for you to consider. It's not about complete understanding. Never was and never will be. It's about 5 little letters. T-R-U-S-T. Trust. It's about trust. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. And I love what Jeremiah 17:7 says. Blessed is the man or woman who trusts in the Lord, who puts their confidence in him. God bless you today as you trust the Lord for your needs.
Thank you, Susie. That's a great word. Great word. Encouraging word. Praise the Lord. Well, it's always a joy to get to be with you all and our friends and your pastors, the Lances. What wonderful friendship we have enjoyed for a few decades now. Not that we're aging at all, but I appreciate the friendship and the relationship that we have. And thank you, Pastor Steve and Carol, for letting us come again. I told Sister Carol when I came in, she said, yeah, this is kind of your normal time. I said, y'all get a little perky before your turkey. It's kind of the slogan, you know, that we've developed. And so we're so thankful for that. And to get to be with Pastor Steve's parents, Brother and Sister Lance, I love this couple deeply. We, when they were in Enid all those years, I counted the other day because I was hoping to get to see you. 9 years in a row, we were in Sunday to Wednesday revivals together. So we've been in at least 45 services together. And I just love this family so very much. And it's so, so great to see them, love them deeply. And some of you all are sitting in the same spot you were when I was here last time. And y'all may not remember every name, but I remember where you sit in the church. That's a big thing in Pentecostal circles, is it not? And so what a joy to be with you all. We could not be more thankful for this season that we're in. And you might be thinking, wait a minute, that's kind of an oxymoron to be thankful in this crazy season. But I was just reading the other day in my devotionals to praise the Lord for everything. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. And then I realized he didn't say be thankful for everything, but he said be thankful in everything. So I'm not thankful for a pandemic, and I'm not praising God for cancer and death, but in the midst of those difficulties, we can surely give him praise, for he deserves to be praised. And I'm so thankful for what the Lord is doing. I'll tell you a little bit more here toward the end of the service, but 3 weeks from today, I will be launching a healing crusade in Puerto Rico, where 41% of the island's inhabitants were stricken with COVID and numerous deaths. A hurricane before COVID and a recent hurricane hit the island again, just wreaking havoc. And our general superintendent of our fellowship there asked me to come, and I'll be with him and many churches coming up starting 3 weeks from today. I'm really excited about it because it's a place where you feel like you can bring real help and hope. And I have a healing testimony to share. In fact, in January, here in just a few weeks, I'll be celebrating 42 years of being cancer-free. And so I've got something to shout about. The only thing I lost in that whole experience was my hair, but it's overrated, and I appreciate those that are with me on that this morning. Take your Bibles, and let's go to the book of Galatians, if you would, please, chapter 5. I have had a subject on my heart the last few weeks as I have been thinking and praying and preparing for my time with you here at Noble Assembly. And I went to other subjects, I studied some other things, and I kept coming back. And then last night, late, the Lord confirmed what he had placed in my heart was still a go for this morning. I've never been more needful of the leadership of the Holy Spirit than I am now. I'm so thankful that when I was 9 years old at an Oklahoma kids camp at Turner Falls, I lifted my hands. The camp evangelist laid hands on this little boy. And I remember beginning to speak in other tongues as the Spirit helped me. I've never been the same since that night. But there's so much more to the Holy Spirit than just your prayer language. Now that's vital, it's important. It's the initial physical evidence that we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful for it. I'm not fuzzy on the details. But also I have learned that the Holy Spirit hasn't been fully received until he is fully in charge. And this morning I want to talk to you for a few moments about the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And I found in Galatians 5:25 one simple verse that we'll use for our text. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Father, thank you for your word. Speak to us, I pray. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Very simple instruction from the Apostle Paul. It's not hard to understand. It's very clear. He's telling us in very plain terms, if the Holy Spirit is living in you, in other words, if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, then let him have full control of your life. I have found that the Holy Spirit wants to direct and lead every aspect of our life, not just Acts 1:8, not just you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses for the Lord. That's a very key verse that one of the first I ever learned as a young boy and then was filled with the Holy Spirit and have endeavored to live and walk and stay filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. But I've also realized that every aspect of my life can be under the control of the Holy Spirit if I will allow it. Now, many times other things get in the way, experience, expertise, maybe our giftings, our talents, certainly education. People can allow those things to kind of take preeminence over, you know, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But everything has to come under him. And so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? It was a question posed. This is something that we are to know. The Holy Spirit was sent to be our constant infallible guide. In fact, I like to refer to him and his ministry as the CEO of the Christian life. He sits at the head of the table and he's in charge, and all of us are under his leadership. I also like to refer to him as the director. You know, in a movie scene, there's always a chair, and even on the back of the chair, it has the word director. And that person that sits in that chair, he directs the actors and the actresses
He directs those doing the lighting and the sound. He brings direction to the script and to the life of whatever is being shown. And he is in full control of that entire room. One person controls every aspect of what's being filmed and what's being projected and what will be made. The Holy Spirit claims our bodies as his dwelling place. So where does he live? Where's his house? He lives and resides in our hearts. And most of us have called on him countless times for many things. I'll never forget when my father passed away some years ago. He was such a champion to me, and I was so blessed. My brother and I have been so blessed to have such a precious man that was our father, that I was in revival in Louisiana, and it was Tuesday afternoon, and I had just called my dad about 4:30. I remember in my hotel room, I was ironing and touching up my dress shirt, getting ready to leave within an hour or so and make the drive to the church and prepare for that Tuesday night of the revival. And I talked to him, and he said he was praying for me, and he prayed for me on the phone. And I said, Dad, I want to call you again, because he was in that last season of his life. And I said, Dad, I'm going to call you right as soon as church is over, as soon as I can, I'm going to call you again tonight. And we said the words that we said often. We shared our love and appreciation for one another. And I said, I'll call you just as soon as church is over. Little did I know I wouldn't get that second conversation, but he went to be with the Lord. The hardest part of that was not actually coming to grips with the fact that Dad was now gone, because I knew where he was. He was in the presence of the Lord. That brought me tremendous strength and help. But the hardest part was going to the church that night and having to preach, because they were counting on me. And the revival ended that night after that service. The next morning, I took an early flight out and made my way back here to start preparing for his homegoing. And I'll never forget, as I was flying out, I got up at 4 in the morning, left the hotel at 4:30 on that Wednesday morning to catch a 6 o'clock flight, and overwhelmed by kind of what was happening. I knew I would be preaching that funeral. My brother would be singing for his homegoing. I knew what his sons would be doing and the dynamic that we would have there in that situation. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I just lifted up my voice to the Lord, and the strength of the Holy Spirit comes at that moment and those moments. And I'll never forget just knowing how many times I have gone to him in times of crisis to give us help and peace and strength. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When difficult times come, you call on the Holy Spirit. You don't usually call on someone that's a TV personality. I'm telling you what you do. You call on the one you know who will help you and answer your cry, and that's the Holy Spirit. We preach about him. We teach on his gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. We beseech him to rend the heavens and revive the church. When we pray for revival, what do we pray? The words that usually come out of our mouth is, Lord, send the power of the Holy Spirit. Rend the heavens and come down in our midst and pour out your power upon us. Is that not what we usually pray? You can see the role the Holy Spirit plays in every aspect of our life. But I'm going to go deeper. Many Christians have experienced genuine manifestations of the Spirit, but it seems to me like we know that we know very little about what it means to walk in the Spirit. And if I were to ask you, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Could you clearly describe what this means? I'm sure most of you could. Could you explain it clearly to anyone else that would ask you, Christian or non-Christian? Understanding the truth about walking in the Spirit would deliver many people from confusion and strife, distress, indecision, and even the lust of the flesh. Because Paul summed it up clearly, let us also walk in the Spirit. So there's only two ways for a Christian to walk. We either walk in the flesh or we walk in the Spirit. Those are decisions that are made on a daily basis. Now let me describe the flesh. We all know it all too well because we battle it every day if you're human. The flesh has its own stubborn will. It acts as it pleases. It does whatever it chooses. Then it asks God to come and bless the choices. Waiting for the amens to die down. I'm going to say it again. The flesh has its own stubborn will. It acts as it pleases. It does whatever it chooses. And then it wants God to come and bless the choices. Have you ever seen confusion come into a believer's life? Real confusion. And typically what causes real confusion in a believer's life is when they do whatever they want to do according to their flesh, whatever just feels right and seems right. And then they kind of all of a sudden go to in prayers. And now, God bless the choices that I've just made. How many of you know many times we want the Lord to come and bless the choices of the flesh, when all along he wants us to lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him or acknowledge the Holy Spirit and his leadership and direction. Stay with me. Many people, their attitude is, Lord, the Lord gave me a sound mind. I can make decisions on my own. I don't have to go to the Lord about everything. Yes. Yes, you do. I don't have to wait on him for direction. I've lived a long life. I know what to do and how to do it. Yeah, you do. You think you do. But you really don't if it's not according to the Spirit. And many people love to say this one that's not even scriptural, but they have claimed it as Bible truth. God helps those that help themselves. It's not even scriptural, but many have adopted it as their own. Walking in the Spirit, though, is the opposite of walking in the flesh. We surrender our will to the will of the Holy Spirit, and then we choose to trust in that still small voice that gives us direction and leadership. The Holy Spirit was sent to set up the complete government of Christ in our lives, and the Bible tells us the steps of a good person, man or a woman, are ordered by the Lord. Who does the ordering of the steps? That comes under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that orders the steps. So simply put, we're to walk in submission to the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus walked in constant, absolute submission to his Father. And Jesus testified, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. And so how can we possibly think we don't have to depend on the Holy Spirit when Jesus himself depended on that leadership? How can we think we don't have to depend on him for all things? If we're honest and if we'll admit it, heaven is many times, or the Holy Spirit many times, is the last person we want to reach out to. We have a culture where I can just take this little device right here and get a million different ideas on what somebody thinks about something. I can turn on my computer, I can turn on the television, and somebody's got a spin on something, and the ideas and the attitudes and the opinions about it will be varied from A to Z at any given moment. I mean, I can take this phone right here and I'll be after Puerto Rico, I'll be going to Israel to minister, then I'll be going to Italy. I'll book everything from flights to hotels to places to eat right here on this little square. I don't even have to do the things and the research like I used to do, because I've got it all right here contained within this phone. But the Holy Spirit is like that for us. He's the one that we can go to on every situation and get leadership, get clarity, and get the green light. And what I love about the Holy Spirit is if you are filled with the Spirit, and if you choose then to begin to walk in the Spirit, you're going to have a simple situation that will help you. It will either be a green light that means okay, or you will feel in your spirit a red light that says not to proceed. You can go to a car dealership this next week. Let's say there are Thanksgiving specials. Let's say there's something that you really have always wanted, and they're offering rebates and kickbacks and all the things that now maybe make it possible for you. I would still pray about whether or not to buy it, because you want to be in the will of God. It's about timing. There's been times that Susie and I have seen something that we wanted to do, or maybe we wanted to purchase. I remember 32 years ago when the Lord spoke to my heart to begin to go overseas, and we've concluded our 86th overseas crusade. And when the Lord first spoke this to my heart, I had no way of making it happen. I didn't know where to get the resources to pay for everything, because I knew the instruction was clear: begin preaching overseas, begin pursuing this. I want you to pay for everything. I don't want our missionaries, my missionaries, the Lord said, to be out one dime for anything. I want you to cover it all. And I'm thinking thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars each trip. I knew enough about that travel to know that. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I hear you. Your spirit is clear in my heart, but I don't even know where to begin. And here's what he spoke to my heart. Just begin to declare it with your mouth, and I'll make it happen. I didn't see it. I didn't see it. Brother Steve, I didn't see it at all. I had no way of putting my finger on a way to get there. But I started getting up before God's people. God's given me this call. Here's what he's asked me to do. Thank you for praying for us. And I called a missionary and booked my first revival, my first crusade in the heart of Rome, Italy. In the heart of the most difficult place to preach a Pentecostal message in the world would be in the heart of Roman Catholicism. But that's where there was an international Assemblies of God church that was really, just really growing and busting at the seams. And I was excited about it. Susie and I booked it. And I still had no idea, but I just kept saying, this is what God's spoken to my heart to do. I've got it scheduled. And I remember scheduling it out several months out. That was going to be the first of what has now turned into many. But when I started confessing it, when I started believing and acting on what the Holy Spirit had said, my phone started ringing. People I hadn't heard from in 20 years, 25 years. One particular brother called me one day and he said, how are you doing? I said, well, I'm doing fine. How are you? I said, man, haven't seen or heard from you guys. How's your family? How's your parents? We started kind of catching up real quick. And he said, man, it's just crazy. He said, I've had you on my mind. And he said, you know, my dad and my brothers, we own a business in Tulsa. We've got about 50 employees now, and the Lord's blessing, but we really want to go to a whole nother level in this manufacturing business. And I said, well, what does that have to do with me? He said, well, you got anything coming up that we could sow into? I said, well, yeah, the Lord's spoken to our heart about this. And he said, well, let me underwrite that one. I said, the whole thing? Brother, do you know what? He said, yeah. He said, I'll overnight it. You'll have it tomorrow. The first one was paid for. Then I scheduled another one and then another one. And people just started coming to us and calling us. And churches blessed us and helped us just in ways that we had never seen in our ministry before. So 86 trips later, we have no debt. Spent probably $1.5 million preaching the gospel overseas and don't owe a dime. God has paid the bill. Why? Because the Holy Spirit gave me the instruction, and I could have been filled with fear, which would have been very easy, and just say, oh, I can't do that. I'll wait and see what happens. I began by faith to speak what the Holy Spirit had given, and immediately he starts moving. Can I get a witness? The Holy Spirit hears what you say. He gives instruction to us. And I saw this as he was a sign of God's presence even back in the Old Testament. Remember in Numbers chapter 9, the cloud that came down and covered the tabernacle in the wilderness? Remember that? Remember the cloud by day and the fire by night? The instruction that came to the children of Israel was so simple. At night, I'm going to give you a warm glow, and you're going to have everything you need. But by day, that cloud that's over you, that I've placed there, says the Lord, if it moves, you move. If it stays put, you don't move. And as long as they were willing to obey what the Lord had said, and he even gave them a physical, something they could actually see, okay, the cloud's moving, everybody, pull up stakes, let's put it all together, and let's move with this cloud. As long as they did, how many of you remember the outcome? They had everything they needed and they lacked nothing. And so the children of Israel always followed this supernatural cloud. And when it rose above the tabernacle, the people would pull up their stakes and follow it. The Israelites were careful to move only as the cloud moved. So if the Holy Spirit was represented in the cloud and he was represented in the fire, doesn't it make sense that I ought to move when he moves? I can't get a witness. Amen. That cloud in the Old Testament was eventually lifted up to heaven, and the new covenant comes. Jesus comes on the scene, and God sends his only begotten Son. And to satisfy God's justice and to shed his blood on Calvary's cross. And he took and he bore in his own body our sins and our diseases. And 39 stripes were placed on his back by those Roman soldiers for our healing. Jesus paid the ultimate price. And he did not leave us comfortless after he did all the work. He ascended back to the right hand of God the Father. And when he got there, what did he do? He just looked at the Holy Spirit. It's your turn. I've done my part. Holy Spirit says, I've been waiting for you to get back. I'm ready to go. The Holy Spirit comes. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured out on 120 people. Come on, somebody. And ever since that moment, we have had a pillar of fire. We have had a cloud. We have had the leadership we've ever needed, and we have everything we'll ever need to do everything God has given us to do. Now, don't just think it's for spiritual matters, but the Holy Spirit will guide if you'll include him in your business decision and your financial decisions. Well, this is good preaching where I'm from, just a little further west. I'm telling you, he came to Susie one time years ago, and she came to me and she said, the Holy Spirit showed me something. I said, okay. She said, the devil's trying to seduce our son. I said, whoa, okay. She handed me some papers, some things that she was concerned about. And just as the Holy Spirit had shown our son's mama, it was exactly as the Holy Spirit had said. We were able to intervene, stop a situation that was about to happen, and probably save the future of our own son. My dad came to me one time when I was a teenager. One of the things that the Perky guys all do, we all love to play golf. It's kind of our thing that we all do. And so nephews, grandsons, sons, we all play. And so when we're together, we would go play and so forth. And so we're playing one day. My dad and I are riding in the cart together, and we hit our drives, and we're going down to the next shot. And my dad puts his arm around me, and he said, do you remember brother and sister? And he named them by name that you grew up with in the church. I said, well, of course, Dad. They seem to be you and Mom's best buddies. I mean, we went out to eat every Sunday, you know, and Sunday nights after church, they would always go with us. I said, of course I remember them. He said, well, you remember how he was such a brilliant businessman? I said, yeah. Dad, as a teenager, you don't pay too much attention to that, but yes. He said, everything he touched seemed to turn to gold. I said, okay, Dad. He said, he came to me and a couple of other guys in the church, and he said, hey, here's a business opportunity. It's for you all to prayerfully consider. No pressure, but he said, I'm going to invest in this. And if you guys would want to join me. And I said, well, what were the terms? He said, well, the terms were, it was going to be an initial investment of $30,000. I said, okay. And then he felt like over a 2-year period, the $30,000 would turn into a $90,000 blessing. Okay. I said, what happened there? He said, I did it. And he said, I didn't actually have the cash flow, but I went and borrowed it. It's just a phone call down at the bank. I said, okay, Dad. He said, interest. And he told me the interest rate. If I told you, you wouldn't even believe me how high it was. And I said, well, Dad, whatever happened? He said, the investment that he launched into, that a few of us went with him, he said, it busted. We lost it all. He said, you remember that pretty Lincoln Mark IV that I bought your mama? I said, I do, Dad. The one that when you started, the light covers would come up. I said, that was such a cool car. He said, yeah, remember that Volkswagen that I traded it for? I said, I do, Dad. That blue one. He said, oh, that's the reason. And we got a good laugh that day. I mean, years had passed, you know, and everything was now okay. But here's the point of the story. I asked my dad, Dad, if you think I'm going to think less of you for making a financial decision that didn't pan out, that's not going to happen. He said, but son, the reason I'm telling you the story, and I've never told you before, is because I never inquired of the Holy Spirit about it. I put my trust in that man that was my friend that seemed to could do no wrong in financial and business adventures. And my trust was in him, and I never prayed about it. Had I taken it to the Lord, I believe he would have put a red light up in my heart. And I could have said to my friend, thank you for the opportunity, but the timing's not good for us. He said, but I never prayed about it, so I had no red light, I had no green light. He said, and I spent the next few years paying that back at a high rate of interest. He said, it cost us dearly. See, the Holy Spirit will lead you even in the non-spiritual aspects of your life. Raising children in this culture, to me, requires the absolute control and leadership of the Holy Spirit, because there are forces at the door trying to get to and seduce our children right out from under our care. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you one final example, and then we'll bring this to a close. I've been going along all these years, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, praying in the Spirit, even in worship today, praying in the Spirit, Pastor. It just comes from our spirit, as we don't always know what to pray, but we pray in the Spirit. And when we do, we know we're praying the perfect will of God. It's such a gift. And so I was leaving the house one particular week. These were the weeks when I was in a Sunday through Wednesday revival every week. And even though our trends have changed, I remember that season. Several years it was that way. All the years of coming up to Enid and being with Brother and Sister Lance, it was in this kind of a season. And so I was leaving on a Saturday afternoon. I was going to go way out in western Kansas. And so I got in the car and I kissed my family goodbye. And I got out on I-35 and I started heading north out of Mustang, Oklahoma City. And I'm going to go to Wichita, basically, and then I'm going to loop around Wichita. And then there's a particular highway that goes west and covers a lot of towns. Dodge City, Great Bend, just keeps on going. So I was going way out in that area to start this revival the next morning. I get in the car. I'm going up. I'm just shy, maybe 15 miles of Wichita, where I'm going to finally take an exit and loop around the west side and then start heading west. And my phone rings, and it was when cell phones, car phones, remember when they used to mount them and they had a cord? I've really dated myself for this group here on the front row. They're trying to fathom what I just said. It'll take more time than this to explain what some of us remember. And so anyway, it was mounted, it had a cord. And I thought, boy, I have arrived. I've got a car phone, you know. And it's ringing, and I'm getting my first call on it. And it was my wife. Honey, where are you? Well, honey, I'm probably 10, 15 minutes from my exit coming into Wichita here very soon. She said, you might be running into major trouble. She said, I'm watching the Weather Channel right now, and just where you are going. And I started really paying attention to the clouds, and I said to my wife, yes, the very dark-throated clouds have formed ahead of me. Is it just a thunderstorm? She said, no, there are F4 and F5s on the ground right in front of you. And there was a town just across the border of Oklahoma and Kansas that, little did I know, had just been wiped off the map by an F5, completely just wiped off. No longer visible. This is just 20 minutes or so ahead of me. I said, oh my goodness, what? And she goes into detail and tells me all about it, where it's located. And as I'm driving along, as we're still on the phone, the deafening sound that caused me not to be able to even hear her voice anymore, the deafening sound of large hail coming down on the ground and on top of my car was such that I could not even continue the conversation. Her last words to me, I want you to make a U-turn as soon as you can and get back here. You could always leave at 3 or 4 in the morning and make your drive, which, you know, wouldn't be unusual for an evangelist. And I said, I sure could. Let me. I said, okay, thank you for helping me. We can't even hear each other now. The hail is coming down. My wipers go on high. The car slows way down. I hit the hazard lights. They're blinking. And everyone has pulled over. And the cars that I have seen pulled over that I'm now just slowly passing have just been absolutely totaled by the hail. The windshields have been shattered, and the dents in the car were heavy. And I realize I'm going to have a claim here of a total loss. And I'm going slowly, and I've got instructions. I know what I need to do. I've been called and helped by my wife back here at home. And I'm looking for an exit. I'm thinking, I'll just cut down the ditch here and get on the other side, start going back I-35 south. But it was already filled with water, and I knew I would have trouble getting in it, and I'd get stuck and couldn't get out. What do? I'm looking for the next exit. I'm creeping along at about 30 miles an hour. I'm looking around. I see no one else on the road. Everybody's either under an overpass or on the side of the road, and everybody's just hunkering down, hoping to survive this storm. But the problem was the tornado was still ahead. This was just hail and rain. The worst is yet to come. I finally see an exit. I've never heard of the exit. I see a little highway attached to it. I don't know what that highway is. I've never been on it before. But as I'm just going along here and things are getting worse quickly, I feel the Holy Spirit say, and he knows how to talk to me because I use humor in a lot of things I do, and he used humor back. He said, would you like to involve me tonight? Would you care to involve me? I laughed out loud, even alone in my car, and I repented. I said, oh, Lord, forgive me, for I haven't even asked you about what to do here. And I said these words, Holy Spirit, I'm on an assignment from you, and I need to get there, but I need to know how. And the Holy Spirit came back so quickly. It was not an audible voice. It wasn't like you could hear a voice over the sound system of your car. That still small voice, ladies and gentlemen, that is your best friend if you'll allow it. This is the one that'll come in advance and give you some warning and stop you in your tracks of making some horrible mistakes. Come on, someone. He said to me, that still small voice, hold up your hand and cup it. And if you will, that's how I will cover you, and you will proceed to your assignment. So I put my right hand on the steering wheel. I take my left hand and I do this. I have to admit, I felt very silly. I'm just being honest. I felt very silly, but I knew his voice. And ladies and gentlemen, I took that exit. And I started going west and north on Oklahoma and then soon to be Kansas country farmer highways that I don't know that you could find them on the Rand McNally map. And I'm going west and north, and I did not realize until later that I was just barely dodging F4 and F5 tornadoes. I was the only person I saw for the next 6 hours. Because I can't go the speed limit. I'm going 30 to 35 miles an hour. It's raining so hard and the windshield wipers are going so fast. I struggle to see the lines on the road. I would have to look hard to find the lines to make sure I'm staying in a lane. Yet there's no one on these little country two-lane roads. Long story short. Longer. No, I'm just teasing. Long story shorter now. Here's the last part. I get through this vicious storm, the sound of rain and hail and wind. I've never heard anything like it being raised in this state. Never seen anything like this one night. I get through the storm. Finally, I'm on the north side of what all was happening behind me. I pull the car over. There's no lane. There's just grass and a big ditch, but there's not a soul. So I pull half of the car over onto the grass and I get out. And the first thing I'm thinking is my car is going to be absolutely totaled. And this concerned me because this was a financial thing that you start thinking about. And so I got out and I walked around the car to start looking at the damage. The windshields were perfect. There was not one dent on the car from top to bottom, end to end. I then start thinking, and then it just hits me that this is a miracle. There's not any damage at all. And then I start thinking, you better check your gas tank. You've been going 6 hours on that original tank. And so I quickly came back to the car. I opened the passenger or the driver's side door, and I looked at the gauge. It's still full. I haven't even used any gas. This is now kind of messing me up. So now I'm thinking, okay, where am I? And I go to the end of the car, and I start walking up this little farmer's highway that I'd been on, and I get to a sign up there about a quarter of a mile. I walk all the way to it until I can read it, and it said the name of the town that I was starting revival in, 14 miles straight up this road. I didn't know if I was in Nebraska. I thought maybe for a while I was about to get to Montana. That's the way it felt that night. I didn't know where I was. And so I got in there, and I got into my hotel, and I called my host pastor, and I said, Pastor, I may be a little overexcited in the morning as I'm preaching because I just came through the most vicious storm I've ever seen in my life. And he said, Mark, I'm glad you made it. We'll be praying for you. And I tell you what, I rejoiced and cried and prayed and praised that night in my room because I realized the Holy Spirit had led me, and I haven't told you this yet. I kept this hand right here for 6 hours until I got through the clearing and got out of the car. Just as the Holy Spirit instructed. I finally got on the phone, and my wife was like, what in the world? Where are you? I said, well, I just now am calling because I know now where I am. We laugh a lot about a lot of things. And I said, I'm sorry, sweetheart, that I didn't heed the advice and just make a U-turn and get back. But actually, the Holy Spirit gave me a new map. And I told her the story, and we rejoiced. And I've never been the same. Because I learned that night, what have I been missing through the years that I didn't involve the Holy Spirit on? What have I missed? What decisions have I made that I did not bother to inquire? What have I missed in the raising of our children that maybe had I been more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, I could have avoided? And so, ladies and gentlemen, I leave this with you. The Holy Spirit's here to be your constant, infallible guide, but he'll have to be invited. He will never just show up and say, yep, I'm here, I'm going to take over from here. He'll only take over if you do what I had to do on that road. Holy Spirit, help me. It was just as simple as that. The prayer was deep, but it was one word, help. And was he ever ready and willing to step in and make it happen? And after I got over my original sadness of maybe how many times I'd missed it, I thought, I'm never looking back from here on. I'm never going to go back and beat myself up on what may have happened or what may not have happened. But from here on out, I'm going to involve him. And as we have endeavored to involve him, he has made a way where there seemed to be no way. Father, we love you this morning. And Lord, how we so need the leadership of your Spirit. It sounds like something that would be very difficult to attain, but yet it's really not. It's submitting our will over to yours. It's getting quiet in your presence. Maybe it's early morning for some of us. Maybe it's on the way to work or on the way home. Maybe it's late at night when the rest of the family has gone to bed, and that's kind of our hours where we're kind of alert, and maybe that's when it is. Whenever it is, it's getting alone in your presence and just praying in the Spirit often, just praying in the Spirit. The more we pray in the Spirit, the more sensitive we will be to the Spirit. So that when you speak to us, it will not be a foreign voice. It will not be a voice that is confusing, but it'll be clear. It'll be welcomed because we will recognize your leadership. I'm thankful also, Lord, that your Spirit works in tandem with the Word of God. You're not going to give us a crazy instruction that doesn't line up with Scripture. That's the foundation for it all, is the Word of God. So I'm so thankful. The Lord, just as you led the children of Israel, you taught a preacher from a small town in Oklahoma how to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit in all things. So I give you glory today and praise. And I pray, Lord, that all of us listening right now would have a strong desire to be filled with the fresh fire of the Holy Spirit. And then we would begin to walk in the Spirit so as not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. For that we give you praise. Every head is bowed just for a moment. I was thinking early this morning, Lord, what would be the best way to present a time to come to an altar to pursue you for a few moments? And I just felt the Lord's simple instruction, if you want to be led of the Spirit, want to be filled fresh with my Spirit, come and I will fill you. That was the instruction the Lord gave. So if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that'd be willing to take just a few moments and say, Lord, I want to be not only, maybe it's your first time, maybe I'm speaking to a believer, you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. What an opportunity. I wouldn't want to live another day in this culture without it, without its power, without the leadership of the Spirit. But it's totally up to you. But if you are born again, you've fulfilled all prerequisites. All you have to do is just be born again, and you're a candidate, glory to God, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody that can say, Mark, this message was for me? Maybe there's some decisions you face. Maybe there's some situations in your family that confront you, but you want to be filled and led by the Spirit. Just lift your hand if that's anybody in this building. I'm just going to wait just a moment. I see a couple of hands. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. I see both of you. Thank you, ma'am. I see you. Anyone else? Anyone else? I believe I have seen three, and I just want to take a quick moment. I don't want to linger too long, but I don't want to rush the opportunity as well. So thank you, sir. I see your hand. This is really important. Thank you, ma'am. You can put it down once I've seen you. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? There's been several now that can say, Mark, this was for me. This is what I know I need. Thank you, ma'am. I see you too. Thank you. This is what I know I've needed. There's been something missing. And I feel like, Mark, I'm just kind of on my own, hoping I do the right thing, hoping I make the right decision. I hope I'm on the right track. Well, we don't have to hope anymore. We can know for sure that we are, because the Holy Spirit will guide and lead us. Last time, anyone else would join these six or seven? Thank you, ma'am, that have lifted their hands. Anyone else? Those of you that lifted your hands, here's what I want to ask you to do. I want you to stand right where you are. I'm not going to embarrass you by any means. I'm not even going to, this time, have you come forward. But I do think it's important that you acknowledge what you meant when you lifted your hand. If you just stand right there, would you? Come on. Come on. Several of you, just stand right there. This next part will be wonderful. Because I want the believers, all the men and women in the building, look around. And if there's anyone standing near you, would you go to some of these ladies and just place your hand on their shoulder? Gentlemen, if you see another man standing near you, would you go quickly to them right now? Come on. And lay your hand upon their shoulder and begin to pray over them as I lead us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, those of you still sitting, would you look around? And if you see someone close to you, would you just reach your hand out, stretch your hand out toward them as a point of contact? I think everybody can be involved in this moment. Thank you for that. Father, we lift our voices. And Lord, there are men and women that are standing right now and they are saying, Lord, there's something that has been missing. And I love you. I'm born again. I've given my heart to you, but I want to move to the next level. And I want those of you who stood, who had raised your hand, to lift your hands, if you would. Lift your hands toward heaven. And I want you to say these words just yourself. Say, Lord, baptize me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Come on, ask that right now. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer. He's the one that comes and he's the one that fills. Hallelujah. And then the Holy Spirit will reside in your heart and in your house, your life, and he will begin his work in leading and guiding and empowering you to do what God has called you to do, especially being a witness for the Lord of your relationship with Jesus. Now, Lord, baptize every man, every woman in the Spirit of God today. We lift our voices. And we just thank you, Lord. To those of you that are standing that had lifted your hands, make a step of faith right where you stand and begin to speak in other tongues. Begin to speak in a language that you won't know, and it won't be something you've learned, but it'll be the language of heaven that God will understand. And you can just begin out of your belly. It's like a river that'll flow, and you'll just begin to speak by faith. No one can teach you certain words, but the Holy Spirit will help you as you make that step of faith. Thank you, Lord, also for guiding and leading each one that has stood this morning. Lord, they're needing guidance in their families and on their jobs and in their relationships. And Lord, I pray that as we acknowledge you and as we walk in the Spirit, you will help us. And you will take us to a new level of commitment and relationship that we've never even known was possible. Thank you for that today, Lord. Thank you for that today. We give you praise and we give you glory. Can anybody put their hands together and give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Come on. Does anybody appreciate the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some are still praying, and you continue. The rest of you return to your seat just quickly. We will be leaving 2 weeks from Friday for Puerto Rico, and thank you for your investment today. Everything that we do missions-wise comes from simple love offerings in the churches where the Lord allows us to speak. And thank you for putting in our hands today what we will need to be a blessing in Puerto Rico. I know that Convoy of Hope and many other ministries have been on the ground and they're taking care of clothing and medicine and water. That is not my assignment. They have that assignment and they are doing it well. My assignment is to preach the gospel throughout the island with the emphasis on healing and miracles, as it has been such a desperate need. So thank you all for sowing the best seed that you can, and we give you our word that we will be good stewards of this love gift today. And thank you, Pastor, if you'll come, for once again allowing me to come. And thank you for partnering with us.
Stretch your hands toward Brother Mark and Susie. Father, we just pray over them and this crusade they'll be having in 3 weeks. We just pray for a mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit. We just pray for souls, Father God. Give him souls for the labor, we pray, God. Lives change, miracles, signs and wonders, salvations. We just pray your blessing and your anointing up on him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What a powerful message this morning. How many of you needed to hear that about the wisdom and guidance of the Holy Spirit? We certainly need that in our lives every single day. Well, we want to receive an offering this morning for our evangelist and goes towards this missions trip he's taking in 3 weeks. And so we just thank you for your giving today. Just if you're making out a check, just make it out to the church and we will make sure he gets every single dollar that comes in. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have now to bless our guest, our evangelist, and We just pray that you would just anoint this offering, Lord. I pray that every need is met, Lord, that he goes to Puerto Rico, that there would just be a great move of your spirit there. And we just thank you for the opportunity we've had to be touched by this message this morning that you laid upon us heart. We thank you, Lord, for those who responded. And we know, Father God, that your will is that every one of us walk in the Spirit and be led by your Spirit. And so we just give you praise and glory today in Jesus' name. Amen. The ladies are going to come back and sing a final song as we receive the offering. Let us stand together. Lord, we just thank you, God, for this opportunity that we've had to be here, this service, to hear from your word, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to pray together, to seek your face together. We just pray, Lord, that you would just go with us as we leave here today. I pray that you would just let us walk in the Spirit and consult you with everything we face, every decision we face. As Pastor Mark said this morning, God, just go with us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.